Father, we look to you with thanksgiving for your word, your work, and your saving grace. So deal with us, honor yourself. We're going to thank you and thank you again. Spirit of God, in Christ's name, amen. In Romans chapter 3, it's God is making it clear in his treatise on righteousness. He's making it clear that everyone, Jew and Gentile, are all guilty without any question. So when we come to chapter 3, we're winding it up, as it were. And in verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. This is the flesh, the human nature. They have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, God to Jew and Gentile, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. So God makes it clear the whole world needs to be saved, and the whole world is missing life, it's missing peace, it has no peace. It claims to have peace, tries to have peace, seeks peace, but doesn't have any peace. One other place now, over to Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, you would recall the statement the Lord makes. Because people were looking for, they were looking for peace. They were looking for help. They wanted to be rescued from Rome, rescued from Herod's rule, etc., etc. Now, chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will it be? What will I if it be already kindled? You're sending fire. That's right. I came to fix things. To clean them up, to codify, to clean, to correct. Verse 50. But I have a baptism, an identification to be baptized with, and how am I to be straightened? How am I straightened till it be accomplished? I got to go to the cross. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. There's your little word, peace again. I tell you no, but rather division. There is no peace in the world. There is no peace. I came. I didn't come to bring peace. I didn't come to make the world a peace. No, I came to save whosoever in the world that would be saved. I died for them before the foundation of the earth. I did it. So I came to save whosoever would be saved, would believe. Therefore, verse 52, for from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided, three against two, two against three. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, etc. So I didn't come to send peace. We shared that in Sunday school. God saves you. You become his totally. You don't belong to anyone else. You have a family and relatives and all of the blood relationships. All of that is terminal. All of that is gone. It's here for the moment, but only for the moment, because it's going to go. And when you pass on, you don't pass away, you pass on. When you pass on, then you discover you brought nothing into the world, and you most certainly bring nothing out. Now, having said that little bit, there is no peace. I didn't come to send peace. I came to be peace. I came to do something that the heart needs, that is unattainable, unfindable. You cannot get it anywhere except by me, from me. Therefore, over to John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, May I remind you and myself, verse 27, we're in our little study there, and the Lord Jesus, in encouraging them and helping them, because they're all upset, they're troubled, their whole world has come to an end, they aren't sure about anything except death and prison, maybe, and they aren't sure, it's all gone. Therefore, Lord, you say the right things at the right time, I do. Therefore, peace, there's your little word, peace, I leave with you. Not just any peace, my peace. There is no peace in the world. There is no peace in the human heart. God, where are we going to get peace? You are peace. You have peace. God said, I'm going to give you my peace by way of my Son. I'm going to give you. So what are you going to give to the human heart if it would receive it? Your own personal peace. The word peace, remember, a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, no threat, no problem to a person's position, power, property, within and without, wholeness, wellness, completeness. The word in Greek, coming, bringing everything together so it's all in a holy, happy harmony together. Nothing is missing. Everything is in place. Peace. Wholeness. All together. God, you give to the human heart. That's what you're telling the disciples to encourage them because they're looking at hard things. Don't understand. Wow. And they don't. They don't understand where it's headed. Wow. But you do, God. And therefore, you offer them peace, not as the world giveth. And the world, remember we did that last time with the prophets and everyone, we did all different things. And the prophets were saying to in the days of Jeremiah, etc., peace, peace, when there is no peace. And Pete, it's all right, everything's going to come out good. Why not? It doesn't matter. As long as you think good and feel good, it'll come out good. No, it won't. that's an axiom that's not good and not true. Wow. Now, so therefore, I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. I'm not going to give you like that. The world cannot give you something it doesn't have. And you can't get what from the world what it doesn't have. You can't get from your old nature what it doesn't have. You can't do that. You can't get it at all. Therefore, if you go in John chapter 14, verse 27, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now you don't want to. The world can't give you any peace. And when you get peace, and it's all temporary, short-lived, only for a moment, and then it disappears. Wow. It isn't there anymore. Mm-hmm. Now God said, listen, that's the way it is. So people are looking for peace. Our world is looking for peace. People want peace. Work, at home, at school, in their health, in their family. They want peace. God said, you aren't going to find it. And when you find it, it isn't real. It can't last. It's only a little blip, and it repeats itself, and it repeats itself. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, he said, don't be troubled. There's lots of trouble. I'm trying to help you. You're trying to find peace. Don't do it that way. No. Let not your heart be troubled. Okay. What are we going to do with trouble? Well, we're going to go and remind ourselves in the light of trouble. It's in the present tense. Don't be letting your heart be troubled, to tremble, to disturb, to alarm, to cause commotion in the mind and the heart, to agitate like the waters of Siloam, make them all bubbling and bumpy. No, they need to be calm, tranquil, quiet. Don't let your heart get all stirred up about anything or anyone. Hang on to that. Don't do that. Now, in the light of that, keeping that in mind, don't let your heart get all stirred up in that trouble. Keeping that in mind, now, it says also in verse 27, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Okay, I don't want to be afraid. Again, present tense, don't be afraid. That's a command. Don't be afraid. It says, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. Therefore, what does it mean to be afraid? It means to shrink in fear, fearful. Being in a place, drawing near, things are drawing near, and you get all afraid, all disturbed. They're coming. It's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. Don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Over to Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, you would recall our Lord dealing with the disciples over and over again, the same as he deals with us, and God giving them all kinds of different occasions to learn. To learn. If you don't have the occasions and you don't have the trouble, you aren't going to learn. What are you going to learn? Well, I told you, don't be afraid, a command. Don't be troubled. Don't get all anxious and commotion. Don't do that. I give you peace. Not as the world. The world is never going to do this. No, the world is only holds this for a minute, and then it's back again. Now, so therefore, Matthew chapter 8, you'll remember in verse 23. And when he had entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now remember now, the disciples are very, very, the Sea of Galilee was where they fished. That was their income. And there could be very bad storms, but they always knew to stay away from storms. But when God makes a storm, when there doesn't seem to be a storm, and all of a sudden there is a storm, that's what happened. And therefore they aren't prepared to be on shore. They aren't prepared to get away from it. Here it comes. And what is he doing? He's asleep. Verse 25, and his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. But you're a professional fisherman. You've lived your whole life here. You know you aren't going to perish. But you guys are really worried now that you could perish with this storm. And he's asleep. Therefore, verse 26, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful? There's your little word, don't be afraid. Now, he is training them. They haven't been trained yet. They will be in the day of Pentecost. But why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. It all was very quiet, peaceful, wonderful, wonderful, wonderfully peaceful. Yeah, did that. He said, I told you, you were afraid. But you were sleeping. Just because I don't look at you and hold your hand seemingly and be with you and everything isn't well, you think I'm not there. And you think I don't care. You could have left me asleep and you would have been quite safe because I knew. I wanted to see if you would trust me when you can't see anything. You don't know anything. You don't know how to fix something. Will you trust me? But, that's what I want to see. Don't be afraid. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, you would recall that Timothy, Paul is about to die, really, this time, in prison. And Nero and the fire and burning Rome to build this palace, you know, and blaming the Christians and all of these things. Now, so therefore, Paul, you're writing, that's right, I'm writing to Timothy, and I'm going to let him know what? Among other things, verse 7, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, verse 6 I should say, that thou stir up, to kindle the fire, to make it fresh, to fan it. It's hardly burning, but put some oxygen in, get a little stirring of it to get the flame back on fire. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. So it had to be, you had to have something to stir up. And Timothy had believed God and trusted God and had been with Paul 20 years or whatever, and as his servant, whatever. Now, therefore, Paul's going to go. And the Lord left, so you can't pick on him anymore, the Pharisees, Sadducees. Paul is going to leave. You can't pick on him anymore. Nero took him. So now, you guys that are left are going to get it. Now, therefore, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit, that includes Paul, the spirit of fear. And there it is. God said, I give you peace, not fear. Not fear, not being all fearful, distressed, terrified of what could be, how could this, how's this going to work out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And how is it going to conclude, and thus looking. Don't be the word coward, fearful. You're a coward. You're backing off. You're backing away. And you're going to get clipped, deceived, because you allowed yourself to get deceived by the problem. And the problem took you. And it shouldn't have. It shouldn't have done that. No. You're afraid. I'm going, and you know I'm going. And therefore, God has given us the opposite, power, love, and a sound mind. And a sound mind. Where am I going to get a sound mind? The truth will set you free. I believe the truth. I rest in the truth. I practice the truth. I want to help do it. That's what we want. To do what it says. Practice what it says. That's what it says. So God, here we are looking and doing that, trying that. And God, and you told us, you told the disciples, don't be troubled. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid at all. Now back over to John chapter 14. And John in chapter 14 again. And you would recall in the process of that, the Lord is going to help them in verse 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Now they didn't understand, as we shared, they didn't understand that at all. He was going to leave, and yet he was going to be there. They just, remember, John chapter 14, verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, they couldn't understand that. They didn't. He said, you should have been very happy of what I do for you. Well, what, God, you let all this. We're troubled. We're afraid. Ah, you don't need to be. But we are. Yes, you are. But you don't need to be. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to the Gospel of Mark and Mark chapter 6. And in Mark chapter 6, picking up, if I can, and remember our Lord. Now, this is before his crucifixion. This is an event that happened for them when they were in the upper room. They could remember it. He's going to remind them by way of the words troubled, Don't be troubled. They were. Don't be afraid. They were. Therefore, here's our little word, troubled. And our Lord, picking up again, this is before they knew this. They have experienced this. They just didn't sink in. Chapter 6, verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in the rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. In other words, they had to buck the ocean, the sea. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, early morning, in the morning, still dark, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now, he gave them the impression, here they are trying to struggle with a little ship in the Sea of Galilee and to hold everything course and keep everything in place. And they see him walking, and he's walking. He's going to walk right by them. He's going to walk right by them. Now, God, why would you do that? I want to see what they do. I want to see what they do with me. They're in trouble. They need to look to me. And here I am. I was on land. I came out to them. I walked in the water, no problem. And here I am going to walk right by them. Now, verse 49. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were, there's your little word, troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. All that you had to do is look to me. I'm trying to help you understand. It isn't a problem. I know where you were. I was there. I let the sea happen to become so rough. I let it all occur. I did. For what? So that you'd learn something. I'm always there. I'm always there. Always there. When you see, when you don't see, I'm always there. Wow. And I don't want you to be troubled, and I don't want you to be afraid. Now, that's before. That's before. Now, then we go, upper room. I told you, don't be troubled, don't be afraid. Then to the cross and the resurrection. Over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke in chapter 24. And you will note, chapter 24, if I can, picking up, please, in the upper, remember the resurrection, he came to the two disciples on the Emmaus Road, etc., and helped them. He opened the scriptures for them to understand what was going on, what they should have known about God, how God works, etc. And they said, in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? What do you need? What does God say? When you're all done, talk, what does God say? Why don't you read and rest on what God has said? No, we want to stop. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Why don't you rest on what I've said? I am. I've told you it. Now I've said it. Now, here's chapter 24. Now, so then he goes from the disciples in the Emmaus Road, etc., in the house, and we go over, if we can, to verse 36. And as they spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, he does that. He's going to do that elsewhere. We can't do it now. Elsewhere. Now, why do you say that? In the upper room, John 14, 27, I told you directly, my peace I give to you as a gift. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The world will never, never give you peace. There is no peace in the world. But I want you to go and trust me. So when he says, and he's going to say in John 20 in that, peace I leave with you, he's confirming what they heard with their ear way back in that upper room, what he told them. I told you I gave you my peace. You guys need to understand you haven't got it yet. I'm confirming it to you. What did I tell you in the upper room? I gave you a gift, my peace. Are you using it, exercising it? Verse 38, he said unto them, why are you troubled? There's your word. Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me, even though I didn't come through the door. Even though I didn't do that. Do you understand? I'm trying to help you. Now, having said that, so this is after. Now it's going to take Pentecost, the Spirit of God. Why the Spirit of God? Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit of God, fruit singular. God, the Spirit of God's ministry is to provide for you what? Love, joy, peace. Uh-huh. God said, I gave it to you. How sure is it? The Spirit of God's going to make it sure. It's mine. It belongs to God. God, the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you it. He's going to make it real. And I'm telling you, my peace I give unto you. My peace I give unto you. And he says it again and again. But they haven't got it yet. But the day of Pentecost, the time of Acts chapter 2, etc., Spirit of God's going to make it happen. Wow. We're going to find it in a most awesome way. Now, having looked at that word a little bit before the cross, after the cross, all of it, but it needs what? It needs God. How can we have the peace of God without God? Okay. So God, the Holy Spirit's wonderful ministry, Acts chapter 2, 1 through 3, Spirit of God is going to come and place them in the wonderful person of Jesus Christ as a body belonging to him in a most awesome way. Now, here we are down the road. 1 Peter chapter 3. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, you will note, God, you're going to help us, I am. Verse 13. I'll read verse 12 even. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So you can't. You got to go right. You can't go wrong to have God's grace to know it. But if, verse 14, but if you suffer for righteousness' sake, because you're trying to do right, think right, and come out right, looking to my word, honoring my word, for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid, and of their terror, neither be troubled. And there's your word. I told you not to be afraid and not to be troubled. Now, how is that going to be? Because, verse 15, sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. I received the Lord as my Savior. When I received the Lord as my Savior, I received Him. When I received Him, I received everything. He is everything, my all. And when I received him, he is my peace. He gave me his peace, and he's there personally. And the Spirit of God is there personally to make it all happen. So therefore, sanctify Him. Therefore, you can think it. Why are you going to have peace in your heart? Because He's there. You aren't going to have peace because you feel it and want to. You're going to have peace because you realize either I have received Christ as my Savior or I haven't. And if I did, you know all the wonderful statements. Hold your finger here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Picking up if I can in verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, in the body of truth, or you're resting in it. Prove, put to the test your own selves. Test yourself. Know you not your own selves? It's a personal thing. Are you saved or not? Either Christ is in you or He isn't. Either you received Him or you didn't. Verse 5, know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, counterfeits, not real. And a lot of people profess everything, but Christ isn't there. And that's why you don't get anything else, because you have all kinds of things coming and going, but no, there is the person. It's a personal thing. God, thank you. It isn't an intellectual. It's for real. And prove it in your own heart. If you can't do that, why can't do that? Well, then you got a problem. That's what I'd say. You got a problem. I want to know, is God really? Well, I don't know. Well, yeah. No, that's no good. No. So therefore, back over to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 15. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason, a question. What do they want to know? The hope. A wonderful expectancy. You expect the ship to sink? No. Does God need to come and do some wonderful thing for you? No. No, He doesn't. He's always there. He don't need to do anything. He just needs to be who He is. That's all. Wonderful. You're going to ask a reason, the hope, why things aren't bothering you. Why aren't you falling apart? Let's all join and get in cahoots with the same thing. Wrong. Don't have to do that at all. We'll lose the peace. Now. And give the hope, the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So we're looking to God. You'll remember. I wonder if I did it. I did. We did the other day. When we did it, I'll just remind you again, it's a simple thing. When you look to God, and you're trusting God, person. Read His word, trust His person based on His word. You're believing His, you're resting in what He said, and you're looking to God. Thank you. When you do that, then God is, you're going to find everything God gives you, inch by inch. What are you going to know? You're going to at least know that God is. He's an ever-present God. You don't have any answers. You have no explanations. You have nothing except you know God is. That's the main thing. Now, so therefore I had little mirror. And in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, made in the image and likeness of God, and this is what, if you want to take that verse and translate it, easy. You're a mirror. God made you so that when He looks at you, He can see Himself. That's why He made you body, soul, spirit. Spirit. So when He looks at you, He can see Himself. So when you look to God, remember, for 2 Corinthians 3:18, God changed, as we look to God, as the little mirror, you can't see it back there, as the little mirror looks at the light, if you and I could position ourselves, would the mirror show the light? If we could, isn't the mirror showing the light? No question. What's it doing? Doing nothing. It's just looking in the right place, in the right way, and resting. That's all. And we get all excited. Whoa, look at all I... What happened to the light? You looked at the quantity of quality instead of the God who gave it. And it is never, never peace apart from God. That's why you can't separate it. I'm going to go out. Here's my watch. I'm going to go out and thank you for peace. Thanks, God. I'm going to work. Night, night. Bye-bye. I'm going to work. Here's my peace. Got it in my pocket. Yay! No. No, you don't. No, you don't at all. You don't. Not anymore. Not anymore, you don't. Wow. That's a simple illustration, isn't it? When I looked to God, I had peace. When I looked at peace, when I looked at joy, when I looked at a solution, when I looked for comfort, when I looked for, it's all gone. It's all gone. Wow. How simple it was. If God, if you made it complex, we'd never get there. And because you didn't make it complex, we make it complex. Because we want it to be complex, because it can't be that simple. So therefore, God, we're going to help you and make our little rules and regulations and how we do things and come and go and our churches are going to survive. No, they aren't. Ultimately, they're going to die. They're going to go in the great ecumenical, ultimately, all of them going to end up in the ecumenical movement. Not the believers. The real believers are something else. But the churches, made up of whosoever's and all kinds, they're going to end up in the ecumenical system coming up, Revelation 17, etc. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, to where we need to go. Over, if you would, to Philippians. And Philippians, if you could, would... It's a put it together now. God, what are you going to tell? Paul's in prison, and he writes them, and he says, as you know, you can even quote it probably, Philippians 4:6, be careful, stop worrying, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, on the contrary, by prayer, looking to God, not looking at anything else, trusting God, and supply and prayer and supplication, being specific if you're worried about something, tell him. Leave it with God. Don't play ping pong with him. Give him. What do you give him? You got to trust him? Give him so you can say thank you. Will he take your problem and your need and your worry and your want? Yes. Give it to him. Don't hold it in your hand and then end up, bring your hands back, and it comes right back with you. Drop it. Leave it. That's called the prayer of thanksgiving. You left it. Who has it? He does. One of the things we shared years ago, 100,000 things. Remember years ago we said, one of the things you can do is go and take your problem, my notes, take your problem and go and put it in the Bible. Write out the problem, right? Be very specific and write what you, whatever, and put it in the Bible and then close the Bible. And lay the Bible next somewhere near you and go to bed. Now, who's going to take care of that? Who has that? God does. It's a simple illustration. It's called trust. That's what you do with your mind. But you can do it visually so you can see it. Where did I put my problem? You know, Jeanette says, what did you do with the problem? I said, I got to get it. It's in my Bible. You see? It's with God. Wow. Okay. Now, so therefore, with thanksgiving, verse 6, let your requests be made known, and the peace of God, which passes the peace of God. Remember, that's the word peace we're looking at. The shalom, the all of the wholeness, completeness, togetherness, everything. God is unmoved, everything. God, it's you. That's right. And the peace of God that belongs to God, the peace that Jesus gives in John 14:27. The peace of God, the peace that belongs to God, which exceeds, goes above, goes beyond our understanding, our comprehension. It goes beyond our anything to come to grips with. We've shared it with numerously in the ocean and that, all of that, to remind you what? You can't go. When you're in the middle of the ocean, out in the Atlantic, even smaller one, go out there and rest out there. And you can't, you couldn't absorb. You look day in and day out, ocean everywhere. And there's, if you could row real hard for an hour, row 5 hours. And where are you? In the middle of the ocean still. Try rowing 10 days. Where are you? In the middle of the ocean. It's the ocean. Do you understand it? Never. How could you possibly understand it? So the peace of God, which passes all understanding, your thought, everything you think, understanding, think, your mind. We present ourselves a living sacrifice transformed by the renewing of our mind. We got to rethink everything. Stop thinking like the old way and get a hold of God's way of thinking, and then you'll have peace. Now, and in doing so, God will keep your heart, guard your heart, be a sentinel. Come and guard your heart. Protect you. Just like that. So just think of the old cities. They had big walls and water all around them and stuff. And you're in the city protected in the tower there. God said, listen, you don't need the wall and you don't need the water. I am around you. You're in the middle of me. We're right now in the middle of God anyway, aren't we? Yeah. We're right in the middle of God. Yeah. Let's do that differently. Now, to see it. Do you understand that you're... what do you think about air? A-I-R. Do you like it? Air. That isn't a thing. I'm asking, do you like air? Most of you like air. That's why you're here. You breathe, don't you? Can you do without air? What happens if I shut off the air and put a plastic bag over your head? And that's no good. It's air. Now, in the middle of the air, the air's everywhere around you, under your feet. Everywhere. Air. Okay. We're in the middle of the air. So in the middle of the air, now, your family, work, home, pain, headache, heartache, problems, people's coming and going, all the different things happen. Is the air still there? Did the air disappear? Isn't everything coming through the air? And yet the air keeps you what? Alive. Doesn't it? And yet you're living in the realities of your mind and heart, family, friends, foam, energy, everything else. And you're living in the middle of it. But you're living because of the air that you're taking in. God said, I surround you just like the air. And your mind and heart keeps busy. I don't want it to worry. I don't want it to be anxious. I don't want it to be troubled. I want it to rest in my peace. That's what I want. That's all I want you to do. I'm there. But I heard this and I read that. Uh-huh. Wow. But I'm there. Just like the air. Are you resting in the wonderful person that I am there? I'm a sentinel. And my presence is flavoring everything. The big storm comes. The eye of the storm, like down in Florida. But God is there. And a storm will come and go, but God is there. God is there at work, at home, at school, in the hard things, the easy, God is there. And you know what else? What you do with the air? You breathe the air, don't you? And the air right now, you only have to practice it. Breathe the air, and the air goes in right in the little lungs down there with all the little fibers down there, you know, collecting the waste and bringing it up. And so here comes all this air, goes in, and the air goes down to every cell in your body, right? That feeds it, doesn't feed it, inside. Now, well, let's worry about something, okay? Are you thinking of something to worry about? Okay. Now you're worried about it. Is the air still working? The air's working, so you could worry. If you weren't having any air inside of you, how could you worry? It's personal. God in us, like the air. And the realities are all there. But so is God. So is the air. Can you grab that little illustration? It's so easy. People have, oh, you just have to do it. So therefore, God is untroubled in these troubling times, in this troubled world. So may the tranquility of God find a home in our heart. May you be tranquilized and thus transformed because of the peace of God. God's wonderful person, His wonderful presence. And it isn't about anybody else. It's about Him. And if your heart stops beating before you go out the door, you will discover the truth of what I just said. It's all about Him. Here, now, and there, then. Our Father and God, we look to You to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth. But God, it's just getting a handle on this whole thing so that we can live properly and not get knocked down, frustrated, troubled, afraid, and fearful, and back off and back down, and we stop. We stop enjoying running the race, growing and knowing God in the name of who, the name of what, God. Everything, God, is to be done in Your name for Your honor and for Your glory. Spirit of God, help us, help us. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. 1,000 thank yous. In Christ's name, amen.